Grace and peace to you, God the Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Good morning. My people ask me all the time, they say, do you get nervous when you get up in front of people, you know, whether it's in the band or CR or preaching? And I go, yeah, you know, I don't get nervous about the people. I get nervous because I'm delivering God's Word, you know, and I don't want to mess that up. Amen?
Amen.
So, I love you guys. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that you have given us, Father. We thank you that you use each of us, Lord, in a mighty way to deliver your word and your message to all those out there in the world, Father. May you continue to use us and may everything we do bring glory to your name, Father God. And may we try always to not deny you, Father, in our lives. Put you first in our lives. May we all live in the truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so my sermon title today, are you living in denial or in the truth? Amen?
Amen.
And we're still in the book of John. The great book of John. Amen. It's been an amazing, amazing ride so far. So, if there's one person who personified what a disciple should be, it was Peter. Amen. Peter is mentioned in the Gospels more than any other disciple, and justifiably so. He was very passionate about his faith, and he gave it his all in whatever he did for the kingdom. Amen. He gave everything. And he was the first to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, not just a rabbi. He was always the first to volunteer whenever Jesus needed something done. He was always the first to raise his hand and say, take me, use me. Amen?
Amen.
And he was also the first disciple to profess his faith and to drop everything and follow Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So, sounds like the team captain to me. Amen?
Amen.
But it was that same dive-in, head-first attitude that he had that got him into a lot of trouble as well. Amen?
Amen.
And cutting off people's ears, right? And remember at the Transfiguration, when Jesus met with Elijah and Moses, right away he's quick to, you know, let me build a tent for each of you so you can stay here, and jumping the gun, right? You know, it's just like, and then Jesus is like, we don't have time for that. That's not what we're here for. That's not the plan. Amen. But he's always jumping the gun, you know, and when Jesus asked the disciples, when he asked all the disciples, and he said, who do you think I am? Peter was the first to raise his hand and say, the Messiah. Amen? Peter was always the first. He said, the Messiah. But remember when Jesus told him that he was going to die, remember what he said, right? Peter said, you can't do that. You can't die. We have, you know, you have to, you know, we got plans for you, right? You can't die. And what did Jesus say to Peter when he said that? Get behind me, Satan. Amen. Get behind me, Satan. You see, Peter was looking at things from a human point of view, not God's point of view. Amen. And that's mainly what we're preaching about today, what we're talking about today. So, and then finally at the Last Supper, when Jesus said that one of you will betray me, it was Peter to first say, I'm ready to die for you, right? I won't betray you. I'm ready to die for you right now. So then, just hours later, Peter would deny him three times. Amen? That's just, you know, that's Peter. That's Peter. Amen. You gotta take the good with the bad, I guess. But as Christians, when it comes down to it, do we walk the walk or just talk the talk? Amen? And that's what this is about. Do we walk the walk or just talk the talk? It's not only how we live and act on Sundays and on Wednesdays, but it's every other day of the week. How are we acting out there in our jobs, in our homes, in our lives when we're not here at church? Amen? Are we the kind of Christian that, you know, that lives a certain way one day and then another the next? Because if we are, we're only fooling ourselves about our faith. Amen? We're only fooling ourselves. When our lives don't express the faith that we profess, then we're denying Christ, just like Peter did. Amen?
Amen.
And if a person is truly a follower of Jesus, then it will show not only in how they speak, but in the things they do and how they love everyone. Amen. The Lord calls us to love even our enemies, right? And I love all you guys, and I'm not ashamed to say it. Never, right? I love you. Amen. And we should all love each other. Amen. We should all love each other to Christ. So our first verse today says, meanwhile, Simon Peter was standing there warming himself. So they asked him, you aren't one of his disciples too, are you? And he denied it, saying, I am not. So Peter's standing there warming himself. He's watching Jesus from a distance, and he's hoping to mix in with the crowd, right, and go unnoticed. He doesn't want them to notice who he is. But he is noticed. He's noticed and he's questioned, and he would deny Jesus again. Amen. He had just denied Jesus last week in our sermon last week, and he would deny Jesus again. So in our lives, do we watch Jesus from a distance like Peter was? Are we watching Jesus from a distance? Do we go to a mega church to mix in with the crowd? Amen. And you can all move on up too if you like. It's okay. I hope we don't, huh? COVID protocol. It's okay. So Matthew 10:33 says, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Amen. So it might not be a good idea to deny our Lord and Savior. Amen. Might not be a good idea. Next verses say, one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. He said, didn't I see you with him in the garden? And again, Peter denied it. He denied it again. At that moment, a rooster began to crow. Amen. I got a picture. There he is. Thank you. Do it again, James. There it is. See? I should have had that planned out, huh? I was actually going to play it off my phone, but you know, when we stay in Mexico at my wife's family's house, every morning a rooster wakes you up. You know, every morning, like at 4:30, the sun's not even up yet. But it reminded me of that. Now, these are details that only an eyewitness and someone who was present, like John, would have known. Okay, so then a third person, a relative of Malchus, the one who's got his ear cut off, comes up, and he makes eye contact with Peter, and he says, did I not see you in the garden with him? So even in the dark, by the light of the fire, he's noticed once again. But this time, by Matthew's account, Peter denies by cussing, right? So he's yelling, he's cussing and swearing. And but isn't this what guilty people do? Amen? You know, this is what guilty people do out there in the world. If they want to deny something or if they're guilty, a lot of times they'll come back at you, you know, screaming and yelling, right? And I know I used to do it. I used to do it, especially when I was under the influence of something. You know, if somebody tried to accuse me of something I know that I did, you know, I would reply by yelling and screaming. You know, that's when someone gets overly upset or exaggerated like that to a response or an accusation, you're like, yeah, right, I know that guy's guilty. Right? Amen? But I don't think it's Peter's faith that was failing him at this time. It wasn't his faith. I think it was his courage. Because his faith would eventually take him far in leading others to Christ. Amen? His faith had to be tremendous. But remember what Jesus told him in Matthew 16:18. He said, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Amen, right? So I think Peter was very strong in his faith. It was just a tough time. It was a tough time for all the disciples. You know, they weren't getting what they wanted. They were confused. They were discouraged. And they were in denial. They were in denial. This was a very difficult time for them. The next verse says, then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat for the Passover. Now, Caiaphas was the Jewish high priest with much power who oversaw the Sanhedrin trial. And He heard Jesus say that he was the Messiah, and that's all he needed to say, okay, we're sentencing this guy to death. Amen? But it was illegal for the Jews to carry out this sentence, okay? It was illegal for the Jews to do that. So they had to appeal to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. I think I got a slide of Pontius Pilate there. There he is. Now, we know that this book, the Bible, is the inerrant Word of God. Amen? And there's a lot of evidence to prove it. Amen? A lot of evidence to prove it. And this here, I know you probably can't read the words there, but in 1961, archaeologists found this inscription on a stone. And it's written in Latin, okay? So you probably can't read it anyways. But it's written in Latin, and it connects Pilate not only to the Emperor Tiberius of the time, but it puts him as the governor also at the time that Jesus walked the earth. So just more evidence to show that, you know, this isn't just a fairy tale, amen? This is the truth, amen? And just more key evidence. But remember, the Jews and the Romans at this time, they got no love for each other whatsoever. Amen? They do not like each other. And especially Pilate. Pilate could care less about what the Jews want. Okay? He could care less. He only cared about what was good for him and what was good for the Roman government. Amen? But they needed Pilate's approval in order to carry out the execution. In order to fulfill prophecy, they needed Pilate's cooperation. Amen? Psalms 22:16, which was written in 900 B.C., by the way, okay? Keep that in mind. 900 B.C. Says, dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me, they pierce my hands and they pierce my feet. This was written before crucifixion was even invented by David. Amen? This was written before crucifixion was even invented. You know, they would all play their part in the prophecy of David. And they would all play their part in God's will, whether they knew it or not, or liked it or not. Amen? The text then says, by now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, they did not enter the palace. So that they would be able to eat the Passover. They didn't want to be ceremonial unclean, right? Ceremonially unclean. So remember, this is Passover week, right? We've been talking about that. Jesus or no Jesus, these Jews were going to celebrate, and we're going to follow all their rules, and they're going to follow all their customs. Amen? Earlier in the week, they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, right? And they were praising Jesus as he rode in on the donkey. But when they realized that he wasn't the Messiah they expected, his popularity started to waver. And people started to fall off. And people stopped following him around. He was no longer praised by the masses. He was bound and being brought before the governor to be tried to be executed. Just a short time later, now they're trying to execute him. Amen? And now as far as them waiting outside to avoid being ceremonially unclean, and actually having the nerve to tell Pilate, hey, you need to come out here because we're not going in there. We don't want to be unclean, right? So, right. And so, they don't want to be ceremonial. By the way, they made that rule up. Amen? They made that rule up themselves. And you will not find that rule or a lot of their rules in the Old Testament. You won't find it. And that was their Bible. Amen? They were supposed to be following God's Word. And you won't find that stuff in the Old Testament. But Matthew 23:24 said in the seven woes parable, it said, you blind guides. It says, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Right? You strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. In other words, these Pharisees are more worried about their man-made rules for the Passover than the God who permitted the Passover. Amen? They're more worried about these rules. And now, why did they do this? Why do you think that they're so worried about these rules? Why did they create these rules and make all these rules? Trying to get them to fail. But what'd you say back there? Control? Control, power, right? Control, power, and influence, which would be probably about the same as control, right? So, but unlike the Pharisees, Jesus' heart was for the people, right? Jesus' heart was for the people, and the Pharisees didn't like that. He was cutting into their business, amen? And so these Pharisees, they followed every law. They gave tithes upon tithes, amen? They went above and beyond their law, right? Yet Jesus would still tell them, you do not know God. Jesus would still say to them, you do not know God. Robert Coleman talks about where the Pharisees went wrong. He said, the Pharisees had so much respect for the original set of scriptures and wanted to protect them so desperately that they started adding to them. Then after a while, it not only seemed helpful to make additions, but absolutely necessary. For instance, if God said we cannot work on the Sabbath, then don't even pick grain to eat. Let's just play it safe. Don't even heal people because that might be a borderline case. These traditions and additions accumulated into the hundreds and hundreds over the years. Soon it became apparent that they were far from optional. These laws became every inch as important as the scriptural laws, and in some instances they became more crucial. The Pharisees also saw their mission as creating new laws as the times changed. Sounds like today a little bit, huh? If they felt the scriptures contained no moral laws to control something modern, they would manufacture a new law and announce that it was binding on man and on God. New situations could not be ignored. And if there were gaps, if there were gaps in the scriptures, somebody had to fill them. It's the living word of God, right? Not the dead word of God. Amen. Somebody had to fill them. Jesus found it very difficult to appreciate them changing God's laws. Amen? Amen. Very difficult. It was fine when the Pharisees wanted to fast twice a week or give tithes upon tithes. They could go with it and go with great pleasure and nobody cared. The problem came when they said, we instituted this new law and God expects you to keep it. That's when Jesus got mad. At this point, Jesus would tell them to back off. Amen? They're changing the Word of God. And He still does today. Jesus still tells people to back off today. God's Word is never changing, always living. And if your religion is changing or adding something to the Word of God, then you need a relationship with the God that inspired the Word. Amen? Amen. Next verse says, so Pilate came out to them and asked, what charges are you bringing against this man? You see, Pilate was not only the governor, but he was also the judge. So they answered him. They said, if he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. Notice they're not specific about what he said, what he did. They're just saying if he were not a criminal, right? They knew that if they told Pilate the reason was that he claimed to be the Messiah, Pilate would have been like, so what? Right? So what? Pilate only cared about a threat to Rome and a threat to him. Jesus was no threat to Rome. He was no threat to Rome. He wasn't really a threat to anyone for that matter. Amen? But He was a threat to their way of life. And Jesus did not come to judge. He came to save. Amen? And He didn't come to conquer. He came to establish a new kingdom. A new kingdom. Then Pilate says, take them yourselves and judge them by your own law. Take them yourselves and judge them by your own law. He's saying, I can't just kill this guy. He's saying, I can't just kill this guy because he claims to be the Son of God. This is not my business. This is your problem. Take them. You guys do what you want with them. Then the Jews tell him, but we have no right to execute anyone. It's your law. We can't execute him. Now this is a very important sentence here. Remember, this is Pilate, and he has the power to execute whoever he wants to execute. He's got all the power. And he hates the Jews anyways. Yet he's given them a free pass to execute the sentence themselves. He's saying, you guys deal with it. He thinks he's giving them what they want, right? Pilate thinks he's giving them what they want. And they say, but we can't execute the death penalty. Now, they didn't always seem to care about not being able to execute people, right? When they stoned Stephen, they didn't care, right? They just did it. They didn't seek permission for that. So why are they so adamant this time about getting permission or about getting the Romans to execute them, right? They got a free pass. They could do it themselves. Get it over with. Just take Jesus and go do it and get it over with. Why are they so adamant? Verse 32 says, they said this to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death that he was going to die. They said this not only to fulfill prophecy, but to fulfill what Jesus had said about his own death in John chapter 12, when he said, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. And Deuteronomy 21:23 says, anyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. You see, when the Jews killed somebody, they'd throw them down and they would stone them, right? They'd stone them on the ground. But when the Romans killed somebody, they crucified them and they lifted them up to crucify them. Amen? Talk about following the law. Well, how about God's law? How about following God's law? How about God's prophecy? They would all be fulfilling God's prophecy and not even know it. All Bible prophecies either been fulfilled or it will be fulfilled. Amen? Amen? Every little detail. If the Jews would have taken Jesus, like Pilate permitted them to, and stoned him to death, the Bible would not be true and Jesus would be a liar. Amen? And if that was the case, we wouldn't trust the Bible or Jesus. Amen? But that's not what happened. Prophecy was fulfilled and continues to be fulfilled each day of our lives. The coming convergence. We talk about the coming convergence. Oh, it's very apparent. Amen? You got wars and rumors of wars. Amen? You got the Antichrist. I think. You got plagues. You got viruses. Right? You got natural disasters everywhere, all the time. Like Pastor Rick preached about, we got sacrificing children. Amen? 9 out of 10 pastors see at least some current events matching those that Jesus said would occur shortly before His return. 9 out of 10 pastors see that and admit that today. Maranatha. Amen. God is using two of the most powerful men in the land at the time to carry out His will. Doesn't He do the same thing today? Doesn't He do the same thing today? Are we trusting in God's will when our candidate or our party loses an election? Are we still trusting in God's will? Does God not use everyone for His good? Amen, He does. Is our sovereign God not in control of everything and everyone? He uses all things for His good. Not just the big things, not just the good things, all things. Thanks be to God for that. Next verse says, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked Him, are You the King of the Jews? I bet Pilate was looking at him bound up in ropes and saying, you're threatening the subverting of our nation? You're threatening to subvert our nation? You're a king? To subvert means to undermine the power and authority of an established system or government. Amen? He's saying, you're going to subvert our kingdom? Bob Utley said, this was to imply treason to a Roman because Pilate did not fully understand the implications of the messiahship that the Jews were worried about. Pilate was only worried about Rome. Amen. Just prior to this question from Pilate, in Luke's account, the whole assembly of Jews said that Jesus had been found to be subverting their nation. They had just said it. Opposing payment of taxes to Caesar and claiming to be the Messiah and a king. So Pilate is asking him, because he had just heard all this, right? He's saying, are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king of the Jews? So what does Jesus tell him? He says, is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me? Jesus is trying to say that if you, as a Roman, are asking me if I'm a threat to Rome, then no, I'm not a threat to Rome. But if you're asking on behalf of the Jews if I'm their Messiah, then yes, I am. There's that I am again, right? The great I am, right? Yes, I am. I think Jesus could be saying that believing in Him, I think He was saying that believing in Him is a personal choice. That's what He's saying. So even to Pilate, He's saying believing in me is a personal choice. So is Pilate asking for himself or is he asking for the Jews? Right? When we are finally judged by God, we will not be judged on the faith and merit of other people. We're going to be judged on our own faith and merit. Amen? I had a boss at my last place of employment. He's one of those bosses that you only saw if you needed something done really bad or if you got in trouble, right? So you never really talked to him any other time. So it was never really a good time to when you had to go to his office. Amen? So we never really got a chance to talk much about our faith or lack thereof. Amen? And but there was a rumor going around that he believed that he had a free pass to heaven because his brother was a bishop in the church. Okay? So, if you heard the guy talk and if you knew him, you'd be like, yeah, this guy needs Jesus in his life. Amen? But yeah, I said, wow, you know, this guy, he really believed that he got a free pass to heaven because his brother was a bishop. And, you know, I still pray for him. And, he was a good guy. He just needed Jesus in his life. Amen? But remember, there's only one way to the Father. Amen? And it's not your brother being a bishop. Amen? It's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I think Jesus is saying to Pilate, he's saying, have you contemplated who I am for yourself? Have you thought about who I am for yourself, Pilate? So I believe at this point, Pilate's a little fed up with the whole ordeal, right? He's like, really? So he says, am I a Jew? He tells Jesus, am I a Jew? Your own people and the chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done? What did you do? He's like, I don't even want to deal with this, but I have to. Throw me a bone here. Let me know what's going on. What did you do? Right? So why do they want, he's saying, why do they want me to crucify you so bad? Are you their king? Then Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. Jesus is saying he's a king, but he's a different kind of king. He's not the kind of king that brings war like the Jews wanted or expected. We know by many different accounts in the Bible that he's a king of peace. Amen? He's a king of peace. The difference between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of Jesus is peace. The kingdom of God is all about peace, and all the nations of this world should take note and follow suit. The world would be so much better, amen, if we all lived in peace. So he says he's a king, but not the kind of king that they expect. And his kingdom is out of this world, amen? His kingdom is out of this world. Then Pilate says, oh, you're a king then. And Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Billy Graham wrote, he said, truth is timeless. Truth does not change from one age to another, from one people to another, from one geographical location to another. Men's ideas may differ, men's customs may change, men's moral codes may vary, but the great all-prevailing truth stands for time and eternity. When we believe to be true, what we believe to be true may be relative, but the truth is absolute. Jesus said that everyone on the side of truth listens to Him. He said He is the way, the truth, and the life. Always has been, and always will be. He's saying, as a king, He brings something much more powerful than a sword. He brings the truth, and the truth will set them all free. As Christians, we should be living in the truth of Jesus Christ every day of our lives. And don't things go so much better when we do? Amen? It's very important for the Christian community to be shaped by the truth. To be a moral compass, to be the salt and the light in the world. But the Jews wanted a different kind of truth. Like there was one. And Pilate just wanted what was good for him and for Rome. Truth or no truth, he didn't care. So he says, what is truth? Pilate's staring truth in the face and he says, what is truth? Right? He's looking at truth. For Pilate, truth was armies, kings, political systems, governors, whatever made him happy and whatever gave him power, that was the truth for Pilate. Then the verse says, and with this he went out again to the Jews, gathered there and said, I find no basis for a charge against him, pointing to Jesus. Love that picture. So Pilate's saying, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? This guy is innocent. This man does not deserve to die. But he still wants to pacify the Jews. To get them off his back, I guess, right? So he says, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the King of the Jews? Then they shout back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. So Pilate is trying to get Jesus released, right? He's trying to release him. Maybe he believes. But the plan backfires. At least for Pilate, not for Jesus. Amen? The plan backfires. Everything is going exactly as God planned, though, right? Exactly as God planned. So once again, the political systems and the kingdoms of this world try to alter God's plans, but God uses everything for His good. All kingdoms, all people, doesn't matter. He did it when Jesus walked the earth, and He still does it today. So don't get too discouraged when things don't seem to be going your way. Amen? Always trust in God's will, no matter how bleak things look. He's in control, and never deny your faith. Amen? God is always in control. Amen. Trust in His will. Amen? Amen? God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You go before us in all we do. We trust in Your will, Lord, in everything in our lives, Lord. Lord, please continue to use us all in a mighty way, Father. We thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit, which is in each of us, each and every day. We praise You. We thank You for the truth, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it's never changing. We thank You for the power, the grace, and the peace that we receive from Your Word. We love You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank You.